Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for grace today to receive revelation of the right relationship that we have with you in the New Testament, which is totally contrary to the Old Testament law of self-works. And we thank you, Father, for doing this. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we just went through a time of a little bit of introspection. Went through a time of taking out demonic warfare against us. And it's been very, very fruitful. And we've looked at things that have caused us to stumble from the beginning. Some things that were inherited through the bloodline. Some things that were picked up along the way. The human nature, of course, brings about many, many mistakes, you know, that only God can overcome. And so we exercise faith in him. But let me say that this time of introspection, of looking at the things that have caused us to stumble, in order to take out demonic activity, in other words, do deliverance that's useful, is a time when you are looking at the old man. When do you look at the old man, and when do you not look at the old man? Well, for taking out the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness in our own life, we received of the Lord a method which we used of a combination of commanding demons to speak out of the person and word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, visions, a combination of things to identify the enemy and command them to come out. But during this time, there's a certain amount of introspection that we do. We're looking inward. We're seeing what has been our temptations. You can identify most demons by the temptations that you've had and the things that are contrary to the Word of God. You can identify them, and they will answer to those things. It's like anger, lust, etc., etc. The demons will answer to those names, those identifying names. But at the same time, you have taken time out to take a look at what has been causing you to stumble. You're doing a certain amount of introspection. Well, let me just point out to you that in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 7 through 9. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, of course, the light is the light of the word. So we're studying the word to see, well, for instance, when is it right to do introspection and when is it not right to do introspection? Okay. But if we walk in the light of his word, which is, of course, identifying our enemies, isn't it? Yeah. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Those that won't fellowship with the saints, they're not walking in the light. There's no, you know, no manifestation of righteousness there. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And opposed to the natural blood that we received from our parents, where in which the sin was passed on to us, and the sin nature was passed on to us, is the blood of Jesus. And the reason God used his blood was to point out that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we've got a new inheritance through Jesus Christ. And the old inheritance was sin. And now we have this new inheritance. We have a new bloodline. We have a new father. Right? So it says, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? This cleansing from all sin comes from confession, right? If we confess our sins, a confession is looking at what you have done and confessing it to God. And, of course, there comes a time when once you have confessed it to God and he has cleansed you, and, of course, this is a thing of faith, too. Do you believe that he has cleansed you? When you confess a sin, do you believe that Jesus has cleansed you? Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. So when you confess it, do you believe that he forgave you? See, I'm going to tell you now, the devil's going to come back tomorrow and tell you that he didn't forgive you, or make you feel that he didn't forgive you. Okay? And it goes on to say, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that he forgave you and that he cleansed you of unrighteousness? This is how faith works. Once you confess your sin, you confess the salvation. This is the salvation. If you keep going back to the sin as though you didn't confess it and as though he wasn't faithful and righteous to forgive you, and as though he hadn't cleansed you of unrighteousness, you're giving up your faith. It's like believing for a sickness and being double-minded. And what does James 1 say? Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. So once you do this, you don't keep going back and looking at your old man in the mirror. You look at Jesus in the mirror, right? And so there's a time for confession whenever you've sinned and whenever you've you need a cleansing. You confess it. See, some people can't confess it. They're under demons of self-righteousness, pride, rejection, fear of rejection. These things keep people from confessing sin. There are people that have told me they've repented. But I said, well, have you confessed your sin? But no, they won't confess their sin. So you know they haven't repented, right? So you confess your sin, and then you confess the Savior. Did you get delivered? According to the word, you did when you confessed your sin. He cleansed you of unrighteousness. He forgave you. Now, the devil comes along with condemnation to bring back your sin to remembrance so that you're double-minded, so that you don't really believe that he took it away. This is his trick. Condemnation and faith don't dwell together. Condemnation is you should have done better. But when you got the human nature, there is no way to do better without grace from God. He gave us this treasure in earthen vessels so that the power would be from God and not from ourselves. You can't, by picking yourself up by your bootstraps, overcome sin. You can't do it. The devil tells you you should have, because he wants your attention on you and your power. But our attention has to be, once we've confessed our sins, taken away from us and our power, to God and his power and what he has done. And if you don't learn that lesson and the devil keeps coming back beating you over your head, he will get you out from under grace and under law. You must do this. And the law is manifested by the works of man. The law wasn't given to born again people. And it's still not given to born again people. It was given to carnal men. The rules and the regulations were a meantime thing, we were told, until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. The law was not to be continual. The seed came. It was Jesus. And now it's given to Jesus. And if you abide in Jesus, you too can have grace. If you do not abide in Jesus, but go back under the law, you have nullified grace. You're now under the rules and regulations. I must do this. I must do that. Okay, so we've gone through this time of introspection, and we've rebuked the demons. And brethren are rejoicing because they're delivered from things that have plagued them all of their life. And some of it was totally inherited at birth. And some of it was passed on through parents and upbringing and so on, and sins of the people around us and so on and so forth. Some of it came that way. But we looked at these things. We decided what demons were the problem. We commanded them to leave. And they did. And so people are feeling a great freedom. You remember the revelation we had about the Father sweeping the floor of the bride's new white house. And he had gotten down to just a little small pile of dust and dirt, ready to throw it out. And this is what he instructed us to do, this deliverance, in order to get rid of that last little bit of dirt. So remember this. You confess your sin, and he is faithful and just. This is what the Bible says about him. He is faithful and just to forgive you. When you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. Do you believe it? Are you going to believe it tomorrow? Are you going to believe it the next day? Are you going to believe it the next day? Because the devil will come back to remind you. He has to separate you from grace and get you back under the law so he can whoop you. Because the power of the law is self. So he has to separate you from faith. Condemnation does a wonderful job of doing that. And he's been doing it for thousands of years, so he's really good at it. But you've got to be not ignorant of his devices, right? So now that you've been delivered and confessed your salvation and you were very happy and so on and so forth, do you think that the devil won't show up the next day and tell you, you did this and you did that, like you were not forgiven and like you weren't cleansed of unrighteousness? Do you think he would not do that? Well, of course he will. He wants to gain back the ground that he has lost. So repent if you're listening to condemnation, because it's a method to get you back under the law. Now, if you're going to go into willful disobedience, there are things that you do that you don't like and you don't want, and you want God to deliver you, but the way is faith. The way is not works. It's not self-ability. You're looking at him who has already done this at the cross. And it's in the past so that you can do nothing to bring it to pass. You just have to believe it. There's only one thing you can do if it's already done, and that's believe it. And he already is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Okay? So let's do a little examination of this so we can get this down in our heart, you know. I think I'm going to start in Galatians chapter 2 and 16. Yet knowing that a man is not justified or accounted righteous by the works of the law. Yes, you're not going to be accounted righteous by what you are able to do or what you have done or what you think you can do. You're only accounted righteous because you believe that Jesus took away your sins, that he crucified your old man, that you've been set free, and that you're not going to be double-minded by walking by sight. By looking at your old man in the mirror, you're not going to be double-minded. You're going to believe what God said. He has forgiven you, and he has cleansed you. If you willfully disobey, of course, there's no sacrifice for willful disobedience, but a condemnation of judgment, which devours the adversary, right? So we need to avoid willful disobedience. When our will is against sin, God's against that sin, but he's not against us. That's what Paul said in Romans 7. Okay. So, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, the was not in the original, because it can be even a New Testament law. You can turn a New Testament into a law. You can turn anything into a law. You can turn a preacher's ideas of what you should do and shouldn't do into a law. That's not going to save you. But through faith in Jesus Christ, do you have faith that the Lamb of God took away your sins? Past tense, it's gone. It's over. You see. He took away your sins. But through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. We believed that he was who he said he was, and he did what he said he would do. And that was to take away your sins and nail them on that cross and give you his righteousness. And not by the works of law, because by works of law shall no flesh be justified. What's a work of a law? Okay, here's the rule. I'm show you the rule. Read that rule. Do you break that rule? Well, in many cases you have, because of the human nature, the fallen human nature. You break that rule. So the law didn't give you power not to break that rule. Adam had one rule in the garden, and he flunked. So the law or the command does not give you the ability to not fall. There's only one thing, faith. And faith does not continue to look at the old man, the old self, the problem. Faith looks at the solution, Jesus, the Savior, his promises. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's having these promises, not the ability to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? Having these promises. That's the law. Since nobody was able to keep the law, and all have fallen short of keeping the law, as the Bible clearly says, do you think you can do it? I say only God can do it through you. He will fulfill the law through your faith in him. Not while you're trying to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Listen, as long as you're going to do that, he's not going to help. His power is made perfect through your weakness, the Bible says. He's not going to help. As long as you think this is the way to salvation, I've got to do more. The devil condemns you because you didn't do enough. Okay, but you got your eyes on the wrong thing, and it will not give grace. Only faith and believing you have received, as Jesus commanded. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received them, and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. So you believe you have received, not on the grounds of what you see with your eyes, because you are believing you've received something you can't see. That's what faith is. You're believing it just because it's a promise. Okay. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves were found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. Where does his salvation come from? It comes from faith. It doesn't come from works. It does not come from the law. By the way, I will remind you that God made the law with the Jews. Under that covenant, it was a temporary thing. Paul said so, and it passed away in Christ. So if you separate from the New Testament grace to go under the law, you separate from a covenant that God gave to you to go under a covenant that God did not give to you. and you're separated from grace. You're cut off from grace, and you're cut off from Christ, according to Galatians 5. So, verse 19. For I, through the law, died unto the law. In other words, okay, you got the rule, you got the regulation, you failed. Because there was no power from God involved in that. Okay, you fail. So you finally figure out that you can't do it. Many people go through this stage. You can't do it. But Jesus can. He can give it to you freely and easily. But it's going to come through faith. That I might live unto God. See, you have to be dead to the law before you can live unto God. You got to be dead unto your opinion that you can do it just because God said to do it. Right? Okay. I have been crucified. Here's how faith comes in. Look at it. I have been crucified with Christ. That's I, the old man, the old I, have been crucified with Christ. It's already done. Whether you're going to enter into it or not, that's a different thing. If you believe it's already done, you're entering into it. If you believe it's something you've got to do, then you're not entering into it. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. Well, are you saying that Paul thought he had already manifested perfection? No, he wasn't. He was manifesting faith in God, the thing that gives you grace to walk on in God's word. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. That's a confession of faith. Christ liveth in me. I don't live in me anymore. Jesus lives in me now. That's a confession of faith. This will work. This will work. Constant looking inward will not work. To confess your sins, you must look at what you have done and be honest about it. Then you confess the Savior. If you don't get around to confessing the Savior and that it is done, you're not going to receive. Because Jesus said, if you believe you have received, you shall have it. And that which I now live, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God. So we, to be in Christ is to have his faith. You stand in him by faith. You have everything that he is, which took away everything that you were. There was an exchange, a reconciliation, which means an exchange. Everything that Jesus is now yours. Everything that you were is now on the cross. The exchange is made. It's made by your faith. It's made by believing that you have received what you've asked of God. Remember what Jesus said, Mark 11:24. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. See, believing you received, that's how faith works. Did you ask God to take away your sins? Did he do it? He said, believe you have received everything that you pray and ask for. He said, believe you have received. It's hard to talk people into this. Well, because a lot of people are not believers. They're acknowledgers. But they're not believers according to the Scripture. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. Right? Wow. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus gave himself for ourself. We exchanged ourself for himself. He gave himself up for me. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through law, then Christ died for naught. In other words, if you could obey, like they did in the Old Testament, the rules and regulations, why would Christ have to come and die? Even then, they sacrificed bulls and goats for a temporary forgiveness, but it had no power to save and to make perfect. As the Bible says, it had no power to do that. The rules don't give you power. The rules make you a sinner. We'll look at that in a minute. The rules make you a sinner. Because when you see, before you have knowledge of sin, there is no sin. So I'm going to read on here, chapter 3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? This only would I learn from you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Do you get grace from God by the hearing of the law? No, you get condemned by the hearing of the law. You die when the law is revealed. You're proven a sinner when the law is revealed. There's no salvation there. The salvation is the hearing of faith. The salvation is you are justified or accounted righteous because you believe he took away your sins. He crucified your old man on the cross. And so he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, you're now perfected in the flesh? Why did he say that? Because the Galatian Christians were going back under the law. They thought they could do it. Let's see, if this makes God happy, well, I did it. Well, I said to myself back then in my very young youth, I said, well, Lord, if 10% makes you happy, 20% will make you happier. I'm going to do 20%. I was still under the law, you know. But that's not what pleases God. Of course, we have to learn to give. And even as a baby, you take baby steps, you know. And he's very merciful with your baby steps. But you can't stay under the law because you can't be perfected there and you won't grow up there. As he tells you very plainly in Galatians here, you know, very, very plainly. So you say you began in faith, you began in the spirit, and now you're perfected in the flesh. Did you suffer so many things in vain? If it be indeed in vain? He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it because of the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, look what happened when the law covenant came to an end and grace covenant took over. Signs, wonders, miracles, the Pharisees didn't know what hit them. And that came through grace. It didn't come through the law. Many of the people that were deathly ill when Jesus came had lived under the law all their life, and it didn't give them the blessings of God. So, it's the hearing of faith. Let me see. I'm going down to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Okay, so if you're seeking to be justified by your own ability to keep the word and not fail, you're under a curse. You have to keep all of the word. All of it. And you're under a curse. And as we read on, here in Galatians, it's very plain that that curse is being revealed by Paul to the Galatians over and over and over. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident. Well, how come it's not evident to so many people today? Finally became evident to these people. They realized, okay, I've tried, and failed. And there was no faith involved. It was all my attention on what I could do. So I made a New Year's resolution and failed again. And next year I made another New Year's resolution and failed again. Yeah. So you know, the problem is the fallen nature has to be overcome. Now, when he said you receive the Spirit through the hearing of faith, the Spirit is what overcomes your fallen nature. And it didn't come through the law. It came through the hearing of faith. Let's see. Well, verse 11. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, you want life? You want God to give you life? It only comes by faith. Well, some people say, well, I've tried to exercise faith. I can't exercise faith. Well, then you maybe don't belong to the kingdom of God. You must probably need to repent and turn to God. Faith is a gift from God. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. When you're in Christ Jesus, the works come from God. They're free. They work through you. When you're on your own and doing your own thing, you cannot save yourself by any of your works. So the law is not of faith. But he that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, if you're going to seek to be justified by the law, that's where you're going to live. But you're going to fail because everybody else has to. Did you notice the thickness of that book of regulations? And you know, you were held accountable to those whether you knew it or not. That's what the Bible says. How are you going to keep the law? How are you, by your own ability, going to pick yourself up by your bootstraps? It is not possible. You still got the sin nature. You're still fallen. So, verse 11, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took away the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He bore the curse of the law. In other words, breaking all the rules. You broke the rules. I broke the rules. Jesus took the curse upon himself for all those who exercise faith. Do you believe? He took the curse of the law upon himself. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let me read on down just a little bit. Verse 16, it says, now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the only one that got the promise was Christ. And the only way you get the promise is to abide in him by faith. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law, which came 430 years after, does not disannul, so as to make the promise of none effect. The law did not disannul the promise of to Abraham. It's still in effect. That's what it says. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise, but God hath granted it unto Abraham by promise. So you're a child of promise. You believe the promise. That's how you inherit the blessings of Abraham. What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. Oh, so the law only lasted until the seed came and he said that was Christ. The law is over. It's a wrong relationship with God. It's a futile relationship with God. The law came to point out sin. But now you have to do something about that sin. And what can you do about that sin? You can't do anything about that sin if you're under the law. You've got to be under grace. And that comes by faith. To whom the promise has been made, and it was ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator. Yes, it was. And we go on down a little bit further. 24. So that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ. Because once you find out you're a sinner, you've got no place else to go. You go to Jesus. Now, Jesus is not going to put you back under the law. The law only did one thing. It pointed out to you, you're a sinner. You came to Jesus to get grace. And grace only comes through faith. If your faith is in yourself, you're going to stay under the law. But if your faith is in Him, you're not going to walk by sight. You're going to believe you have received. So the law has become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Faith in what He did. He was the Lamb of God that was slain for us. But now that faith is come, we are no longer under a tutor. Oh my goodness, He just got through telling you, you're not under the law. Please believe it. It was only a meantime thing until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. It says so plainly. What is wrong with these Christians listening to these Judaizers to go back under justification by keeping feasts and days and months and years? He rebuked all that in here. Rebuked it. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice, how do you become a son of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in what? Faith that He did what He said He did. And that was what? Nail your old man, your sinful life, to the cross. It's over. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Let's see, I'm going to go down to 4:1. But I say, so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all. The Lord says that you're Lord of all. But if you go under the law, you're a bondservant. You're a child. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. Proverbs 29:21. See, we have to come out from under being a child to be a son through faith. He just got through saying, you're all sons of God through faith. You look in the mirror and you see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. When a mirror tells you who you are, you look in the mirror, you're seeing what your face is. You're seeing Jesus in the mirror. You're a son through faith. But through the works of the law, you're a child. You're a bondservant. And Jesus said, the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. He does not have eternal life. The Son abides forever. He has eternal life. You go back under the law, you're not going to have eternal life. Okay? This is not where eternal life comes from. Eternal life comes by faith in Jesus and what He has done. But is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. So we also, when we were children, see, you're not supposed to be a child anymore, you're a son by faith. When we were children, we're held in bondage under the rudiments or principles of the world. You're in bondage if you're under the law. You have to keep the whole law. You have to do it all. You have to keep all the rules and regulations. If you say, well, I'm a Christian, I keep the New Testament. Well, you got to keep it all then. You see. Now you can let Jesus do it in you because you walk by faith, or you can attempt to do it yourself. And you will fail. Because people use the New Testament as a law too. Do I believe the New Testament? Every bit of it. I just believe it only is accomplished through faith in Jesus Christ and not through any condemnation. When does condemnation come? It comes because the devil says you should have done better. He's, again, directing your attention on you and your power and your failure instead of on Christ. So you confess your sin. And by the way, the confessions brought about deliverances from demons. Everybody that was local here went through this and are rejoicing. And some are out of town, and some still are going to come through it, go through it later. We haven't demanded this. We just offered it, and people came. And then people gave testimonies of what happened. And other people came. And then other people came. You see? And it has gone through the whole congregation. Okay, so principles of the, under the principles of the world. You know? But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. You have to be redeemed from the law. Don't go back under the law. Jesus redeemed you from the law. Don't go back under the law or just law, because like I said, you can make your own rules and regulations. It's still not going to make you holy, because your fallen nature will not permit you to be obedient to everything that's necessary. But faith can cause God to do it in you. People say, well, we can't be perfect. You're right. We can't be perfect. But when we believe God, he can be perfect in us. Okay. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow. That he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the redemption of sons. And because you are sons by faith, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, crying out to the Father. Okay, so when you read the rest of this chapter, you find out that the people, the Christians who went back under the law, were called children again. 19. My little children, of whom I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you. That is, sonship be formed in you. Why did he say that? Because they went back under the law. They thought they could be saved by keeping all the rules and regulations, right? No, it's not going to work. And then he says in verse 23, well, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Okay, so we're all Christians, are sons of the handmaid or sons of the free woman. Sons of the handmaid are those that go back under the law, rules and regulations, thinking they can please God by their own self-will. Every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand, Jesus said. So, and verse 23 says, howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son by the free woman is born through promise. Here, the son of free woman is the one who walks by faith in the promises, right? Which things contain an allegory, for these women are two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage. Okay, that's the law. That's the law, Mount Sinai. Bearing children unto bondage. Yes, do you want to go back into bondage? Okay, all you got to do is consider that you're strong enough to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Okay, I know what the law is. I know what Jesus wants. Now I'm going to do it. And then you fail. And God is not helping you. because you're going to do it. It's self-will. Self-will will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this, children under bondage, which is Hagar. That's the handmaid, right? Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to the Jerusalem that now is. You see, the Jerusalem that now is not the chosen people of God. I'm so sorry to tell you, but you just haven't read your Bible if you believe that. It's a lie. You must be born again, as Jesus told a Jew. And answereth to the Jerusalem that now is, for she is in bondage with her children. He is saying that she is a handmaid, not the son of the free woman. The son of the free woman is those that believe the promise. That's what he's saying. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. We're born from out of heaven, born from above. The Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven to the earth. Who is it? The bride, he said. The bride is being born from above, not from beneath. What did Jesus say? I am from above. You are from beneath. Why? They were all under the law. And they were very self-righteous. Look what we did. And one poor sinner got healed and came and testified to him, and they kept asking him, well, how did he do this? How did he, grilling the poor guy. And he said, well, I really don't know much, but I know that once I was blind and now I could see. Well, how did he do that? Well, I don't know, you know. And then they finally told the poor fellow, well, you were altogether born in sin, like all of them weren't. So now you come to teach us, you're born in sin. And you come to teach us, well, they're still in their sins, for goodness sake. What hypocrisy. They were so proud, they thought they had overcome sin by the law. And Jesus said, oh, no, it won't work. It won't work. They were more self-righteous and more evil than people who had none of their law. It wasn't the sinners out in the world that crucified Jesus at that time. It was the so-called people of God that crucified Jesus at that time. So the Jerusalem that is from above is free, which is our mother. It's written, rejoice thou, barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. Yes, the free woman has the husband. The desolate was the one that went out into the wilderness with her son, right? And Abraham wanted God to accept Ishmael. And God said, no. That's a son. That is a fruit of your works. You trying to help God. That's what did this. And he wouldn't accept the son of the handmaid, but the son of the free woman, which came through promise. It was impossible for the son to be born. He had to come through promise. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, still happens today. You want to see, look out there, folks. You want to know who the sons of the handmaid are? They're the ones who are persecuting those who are born from above. You know, we've gone through this faction since, very strong since 2011. Those are sons of the handmaid. And God has pointed them out as Edomites, Esau's seed, and Ishmaelites. He's used those types to point these people out because they hated their brother. They sold their birthright by hating their brother. So who is it that's persecuting even the youngest baby out there? I'm talking about, you know, you don't look at a baby that's born into your house and say, well, you don't walk very good. You kind of have faith that, well, after a while, they'll walk all right, you know. The wicked have persecuted the righteous and have not ceased until this day. In the letter, look in the Middle East. It's still happening. And in the spirit, look in the church. It's still happening. Sons of the handmaid are persecuting them that are the sons of the free woman. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, so also it is now. And how be it? What saith the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, which he has done. Okay. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. Now, I just got to tell you, a bunch of people, as soon as they followed faction out of the church, went back to the law. Quoting the law, you know, the holy name, all of that goofiness, and thinking they're better than you because they're under the law. So don't fall into that trap. The trap is you're justified by faith in what Jesus did for you at the cross. And because you're justified, you now have a right to have grace, which is God's favor, to put in you what is necessary. Okay. Chapter 5. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Don't go back into this bondage, you know. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. And like I've always said, you could put any other ceremonial law in there and it would be the same thing. Sabbath, whatever. Feast days, days, months, seasons, he rebuked them all in Galatians. Yes, I testify again to every man that receiveth circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness, something that God's going to give you freely, right? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Now, when the devil comes to you to condemn you because you did this or you did that, he's trying to put you back under the law. Unless it's a willful disobedience. He's trying to put you back under the law. Don't go for it. Remember, you were delivered from your sin. When you confessed it, he was faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of unrighteousness. Don't go for it. Don't fall for it. Don't accept condemnation. It's the opposite of faith. You can't have them both at the same time. You know, you just can't have it. Look, let's look at Romans 6. I think I'm going to read 6 through 12. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. See, what did it? The old man was crucified with him. Do you believe it? If you don't believe it, you don't get it. It's just that simple. Be it unto you according to your faith, right? So you're going to receive this thing strictly because you believe that you were crucified, that old man whose sins was crucified? Yep. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. There's a death, burial, and resurrection for those who are in Christ, right? Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death no more hath dominion over him. Are you dead? Well, then death don't have any dominion over you anymore. For the death that he died unto sin once. But the life that he liveth unto God. Okay, even so, here's where faith comes in. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Do you do this when you're perfected or while you're still sinning? You do it while you're still sinning. He's saying, even so, reckon. That means consider it done. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And then he tells you why you have to do that. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You want to stop from sinning? You want to stop sin from reigning in your body? This is the way. You consider it done because you were crucified with Christ. Your old man, the sinner, was crucified with Christ. And you don't live anymore. He lives in you. That's faith. That's how it works. Okay, I'm going to go to 7 and 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit, I had not known sin except through the law. So that's what the law's use is, to point out to you what's wrong. I'm not talking about ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, because the New Testament people didn't go by those ceremonies. They knew that those ceremonies were parables of the New Testament. And a parable is not the real thing. The real thing is the fulfillment of the parable. Paul, for instance, said circumcision was baptism. It's not a cutting off of the foreskin. It's a cutting off of the whole old man. Okay? For I had not known coveting, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, finding occasion, wrought in me through the commandment. What made you a sinner? He's telling you the commandment. The law made you a sinner. The law can't make you holy. It can only make you a sinner. Okay. Finding occasion wrought in me through, and I'm talking about, again, laws that you put on yourself, laws that your preacher puts on you, laws when the New Testament is treated as a law rather than grace, the same thing. It's the same thing. Finding occasion in me through the commandment, all manner of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. That's right. If you don't have a law, you're not held accountable because you don't have a law. God didn't tell you, thou shalt not, right? And I was alive apart from the law once because of innocence. Okay. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment killed him. And the commandment, which was unto life, in other words, if you could obey it, it would be unto life. Thus I found to be unto death. For sin, finding occasion through the commandment, beguiled me, and through it slew me. What's the beguiling? Is that you think that you can keep the law. Yeah, you're deceived. Nobody's ever been able to do it. And even if you could keep the things that you know about, what about all those other things in there that you don't know about? Because you are just as guilty if you broke them. And when you found out that you broke a law that you didn't know about, you had to go and make a sacrifice. Let's see. And then Paul goes through his that which I do, I know not, etc., etc. thing. You know, he talks about the evil which I would not that I do. Who shall deliver me from the law of this death? But since I would not, it's no longer I that do it, but Christ who dwelleth in me. So, verse 16, but if what I would not that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So now, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So, you see, God is separating you from the sin as long as you don't want to do it. Your will is against doing sin. So then he separates you from the sin. He separates the sinner from the sin. From the righteous. Your sin is his target, not you. Right? And so he went on to say that the law brought him into captivity, 23, because now he was held accountable, because now he had a law, right? So I'm going to just read on down here. So, verse 16, but if what I would not that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good, so now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. So God's separating the two. Because he doesn't want to do it. If you want to do it, and you're doing it because you want to do it, it's called willful disobedience. Then you don't have a sacrifice. Hebrews 10:26 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. Why? Because his flesh is fighting against him. The carnal nature you inherited from your parents fights against you. There's only one way to have power over that carnal nature. It's got to be God's power, not yours. If it's your power, it's the flesh. The flesh is not going to kill the flesh. for to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, is no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So God separates it. If you desire not to sin, but you're doing it because of the old nature, then God targets the old nature. That's his enemy, right? There's the I, the new man, and there's I, the old man, right? I find then that the law, which to me, who would do good, evil is present, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, meaning in the flesh, right? Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin is in the members. The curse of sin and death is in the members. They're the enemy of God. The flesh is the enemy of God. There's no way out. When God shows you the law, it makes you a sinner. You can't go under the law to not be a sinner. You have to go under grace to not be a sinner. All the law can do is show you you're a sinner. That's all it can do. It has no power. The power comes from God. And it comes through faith, or it don't come at all. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus did it. The law couldn't do it. Jesus did it. So then, I of myself, with the mind, indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There was a war between the flesh and the spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And you're in Christ Jesus only through faith. They're called believers. Now, I know that that's a very loose term nowadays, and it doesn't mean a whole lot. But it did in the Bible. A believer is somebody that was not under the law. They believed the promise. They were sons of the free woman through promise. God gave a promise to Abraham and Sarah. And it wasn't to do anything through Hagar. God promised it by his power. Hagar was their power. And they failed. And all it did was raise up trouble for them. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus by faith? Have you confessed your sins? Did he forgive you? Did he cleanse you of all unrighteousness? Well, the Bible says so. So you're justified right there. And since he cleansed you of all unrighteousness, your flesh is dead. It's gone. You were crucified with Christ. And what was given to you was Christ himself. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. See, the law can't do that. Because the law itself is only of the power of self. Self can't kill self. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's a law. If you have faith in Jesus and what he did at the cross, it's a law, like the law of gravity. It's going to come to pass. If you get double-minded and you go under condemnation, which is of the law, it's not of grace. You go under condemnation and you're double-minded, you shouldn't think that you're going to receive anything from God, James said. Okay, so the double-minded are people that go back under the rules and regulations and try with their own self-will to keep them. Or they dress up in some kind of way that makes them holy. Or they talk in some kind of way that makes them holy. Anything to make you holy except faith in Jesus Christ. All of this is a bunch of obedience to rules and regulations so that you can be justified by self. Right? For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Notice, the law cannot do anything. It is weak through the flesh. The law was speaking to your flesh. It said, do this and don't do that. And flesh is a rebel. So it said, no, I'm going to go my own way. And you said, but. So, yep, it's born into the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He put to death sin. It's gone. That the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you fulfill the law? Walking after the Spirit. Remember, he rebuked the Galatians, who thought they could be perfected through the flesh by keeping the law. Not going to happen, is it? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. You can tell who they are. Everything fleshly and worldly, and the love of the world is in them. You can tell who's after the flesh. And they'll make up doctrines to make them okay like they are. Or even as bad a sinner as they can be, they're still saved. You know, they make up doctrines like that. These are people that are after the flesh. They're not after the Spirit. They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. Now, we know the things of the Spirit. The Spirit was given through faith, not through the works of the law. The Spirit is the power of God in you to manifest Christ in you. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. So what are you going to do? Since you found out that you can't obey the law, lower the bar. That's what they do. Just keep lowering the bar till you can just step right over it and walk on, you know. Keep lowering the bar, lowering the bar. Since you found out you can't do it, you lower the bar. No, Jesus is not lowering the bar. He's not grading on a curve. If he is, he's at the top of the curve. Oh, no. Oh, yes. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, Jesus is offering to come and live in us because of our faith in this reconciliation, this exchange. He's offering to come and live in us and do it. Nobody is a Christian unless Jesus is living in them. This is the only hope. It's the only thing God will accept. So, the religious who don't believe in receiving the Spirit of God and don't believe in the gifts and the power of God just keep lowering the bar. Oh, it's okay. You can sin all you want, but you'll still go to heaven because you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. But did you? No. No, you didn't. You may have had the first fruits of a born-again spirit, but you still got a dead soul. And the soul is changed and born again, according to what Peter said, through your obedience to the truth. How can I obey the truth? By faith in Jesus. He lives in you. He will do it. Take your attention off of yourself. Yes, we did go through a time of introspection to find out what those demons were. We identified them. We commanded them to go, much like you do there when you confess your sins one to another, right? Everybody brought their lists. This is my temptations. They confessed their sins. We took every one of them. Do you know that all those temptations are from demons? So we took those temptations and we commanded the demons to go in the name of Jesus. And guess what? Not in every case were they demons, but it didn't make any difference because all of your sins been nailed to the cross. It didn't make any difference if it ended up being a sinful nature, the carnal nature. You can see that was taken away. It was nailed to the cross. So you can command that to go too. So we commanded them to go. And in many cases, it was demons and demons came out. Then we went on, commanded the demons to give their name. They gave their names. We commanded them to come out and they did. And we got words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and so on. Okay, so now that that's done, you have a fresh start. The dust has been swept out of the house. And now you have to put your eyes on Jesus and reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. If you go back under the law, it's all coming back. You're under a curse. It's all going to come back on you. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. And you know, there are lots of religions out there that are ruled by the mind of the flesh. Some guy that went to Bible school and he learned about the law, and now he's going to pound it into you, and he's going to condemn you if you don't do it, because he don't have the foggiest idea how this works. Yes, he went to Bible school. So did the Pharisees. But the disciples followed Jesus. Right? So the law is enmity. The flesh is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. It can't be. You say, well, I'm going to pick myself. No, you're not. You're not going to clear the ground. There's a law called the law of gravity. What law is it that will help you to be able to walk with Christ in heavenly places? It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it only works through faith. You will not progress one bit until you believe that Jesus took away the very sin you're dealing with. He took it away. Oh, hallelujah. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Right? So, again, I'm going to bring us back to my favorite gospel in the nutshell here. Paul spoke about it. He put it into a nutshell, two sentences long. It's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And then he did it here with a little bit different parable, but he did it. Let me start in chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness of speech, and are not as Moses, who put a veil upon his face, that the children of Israel should not look steadfastly on the end of that which was passing away. Who was Moses? The law. Passing away. He's telling us that this is passing away. Verse 14. But their minds were hardened, and they are today too. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant. What does it mean, Old Covenant? Paul had to explain that too. It means an Old Covenant. There's a New Covenant. You don't stay under the Old Covenant when you get a New Covenant. When they change the laws of the land, you better obey the new laws, not the old laws. Try that at tax season, you know. You understand? Well, it's the same. At the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed unto them that it is done away in Christ. And you can't tell them that? They'll say, but, because they want to be justified by works. They're doing something. They're feeling good. I can go to heaven now because I'm doing this, and this. But they're veiled. And you're trying to keep the law. You're trying to be obedient to Christ. And you're trying, all of your self-efforts is the same thing. The veil remaineth. It's not you that can do this. It is Him. That's why you're not to receive condemnation, is if your will is against the Word, if your will is against your flesh, what the Word says about your flesh. If your will is against your flesh but for God, then you have faith in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him, and He will do what you never could do. May have tried. Many people do, but they all fail. But unto this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their heart. Well, it's still true, isn't it? But whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The confusion, the blindness is taken away when a person turns away from the law to Christ. And now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Remember, the Spirit was given by faith, not by the works of the law. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. The power comes from the Spirit. But you, by faith, behold Jesus in your imaginary mirror. That's what faith does. You say, it's done. It's over with. I was crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me, and I'm seeing Him in the mirror by faith. Into the same image. You're transformed by the Spirit. Notice, transformed when you behold Jesus in the mirror. By the Spirit. That's why you can't grow. You can be in religion the rest of your life and not manifest any more of the glory of God. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, that what ministry is this, by the way? It's the ministry of reconciliation. When we preach the true gospel, what we're doing with people is we're making that exchange. We're taking away their old nature and life and sin and nailing it to the cross and giving to them Jesus Christ. This is our ministry of reconciliation. Seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtained mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, look carefully here at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish. Where's the veil? The veil is them thinking that through the law they can be perfected. But the law could perfect no one, Paul said. That's a deception. The gospel is veiled, and if our gospel, that is the gospel of seeing Jesus in the mirror, right? If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that perish. If you don't see Jesus in the mirror, you perish. If you don't see he took away your sins and he now lives in you, you perish because you haven't received the revelation of the gospel yet. The good news is that you don't have to do it. The Lord did it. But you have to continue to see it as done. So you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. And as long as you do that, you're going to grow into that same image from glory to glory. That's the gospel that is unveiled. The veil is, I got to do this, I got to do that. The veil is when the devil condemns you for what you did, I'll do better, I'll do better. You know, I can do better. Yeah. No, you just have to accept what Jesus did and don't walk by sight, walk by faith. So, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. How does he do that? Condemnation is one of the biggest things he uses to bring people back under the law. That you must do this and you must do this. Thou shalt not and thou shalt. Because when you accept condemnation, what you're saying is, I could do better. I cannot do better. Jesus can do better. I must look in the mirror and see Jesus so that he can do better. He can bring you from glory to glory into his image. You can't do it. So the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, and he will try to blind you. He will try to do it again. He'll try the best he can to condemn you. And if you, you know, fall under that condemnation, lose your faith, go back into the worldly ways of doing things. I've got to do better. I'm going to have a New Year's resolution. Right? He blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. The light of the gospel that he just preached in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, that you accept this free gift from God, it will not dawn upon them. And I got to say that if you've got another Jesus and you come into his image, you have not come into the image of the Jesus Christ. That's why we study the scriptures, is to find out what he looks like. And then we desire after that. So if you make up another Jesus, you have an Antichrist. You can only come into the image of Antichrist. Because anti in the scripture doesn't necessarily mean in the place of. It can be beside. You know, you're accepting this other Jesus. You're also replacing him with a Jesus that does not exist so that you don't have to give up your sins. You see, because they make a Jesus that smiles on sin. Jesus doesn't smile on sin. The Bible says that the sin nature is enmity. It's an enemy of God. He doesn't smile on sin. He hates sin. He's just telling you that the only way to get rid of it is by grace, unmerited favor, unearned favor. Inability Right? Your inability is what you find out when you try to keep the law. You are unable. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. We're not the Lord. We're not able to do this. He's the Savior. We covenanted with Him through faith in His blood. And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Seeing that it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness. So, if you don't have a light in the darkness, all you've got is darkness. And they're veiled. The Christians and the Jews who believe that they can keep a covenant of the old covenant and be justified before God, they are veiled. The God of this world has blinded them. They don't understand the old covenant was a letter to a letter people. The new covenant is a spirit to the spirit people. Born again from above, Jesus said even the greatest teachers among them, they were from beneath. Not above. I am from above. You are from beneath. They were in darkness. They proved it by killing him. And they still prove it by killing him. Because what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Yep, the Ishmaelites are still out there killing as many as they can. And I don't speak against Ishmaelites or Edomites as a hopeless people, because I know there are many being born again from both. They're being born again. They don't have to live out their heritage in the flesh. They can be born again. Great revivals are happening in the world right now. And Ishmaelites and Edomites are coming out from under the curse of sin and death through faith in Jesus Christ. But who they are in the natural is exactly what the Bible says. They were the enemies of God's people in the natural. You know what? We all have flesh. That flesh is an enemy of you. It's an enemy of God's people. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The flesh is an Edomite. The flesh is evil. It makes war against the spiritual man, right? It's God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's talking about 3 and 18 we just talked about. This is the light. There's nothing else going to work. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which only comes in the face of the Jesus Christ. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the exceeding greatness of the power may be from God and not from ourselves. In other words, he makes it impossible for us to save ourselves. Could Abraham save himself? No. His lineage was going to die out and be gone and disappear. It only came because of a miracle. Both of them were dead. Neither one of them had the power to bring forth fruit, and neither do you and I. But he wavered not through unbelief, but gave glory to God. And that's why he's called the Father of the faithful. He believed God could do this. And God did do it. It took him a while to figure out that he couldn't do it. Made a lot of mistakes. But sometimes the mistakes drive us to the Lord. Amen? So, God purposely put us in a situation where we could not do it. We have this treasure That's this knowledge and the revelation of the truth. In earthen vessels, so that the exceeding greatness of the power may be from God and not of ourselves. See, God is not going to accept a salvation that comes from self. He's not going to accept that you, by your own strength, can pick yourself up by your bootstrap. Not going to accept it. He's not going to overcome the law of gravity. He overcame the law because Abraham and Sarah believed him. They had no power to bring forth fruit, but they believed God. And that's the way it is with the law. The law is self-saving self, and it never happened. So they needed a sacrifice. And so temporarily, God gave them the sacrifice of animals, the old flesh, the old man. They didn't know what it really pointed to. But we know it pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus. And since we believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, he is able to manifest that sacrifice in us, because the old flesh dies. So he wanted the power to be of God and not of ourselves. So he put this impossibility together that we would be saved, not by our flesh, but by a miracle from God, like Abraham was. God gave Abraham fruit, right? We're pressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, and yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. What is this, bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus? It's the revelation that you've tried and you can't do it. Some people, you know, they're more stubborn. They hold on longer than others, attempting to do it, claiming that they have done it by changing their doctrine, lowering the bar, you know, basically. The dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Oh, my goodness. So, see, Jesus paid the price so that Jesus could live in our body. Where? On earth. This is where the fruit is born. And again, when God comes to pick the fruit, he's only wanting the fruit. He does not want the plant. Your flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He only wants the fruit, and the fruit has to be Jesus. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Jesus was the manna they ate in the wilderness that gave them life in the wilderness. We still have to eat Jesus. We eat the lamb, all of the lamb, so that we can have a Passover of the curse, like Exodus 12 speaks about, the destroyer. The destroyer is coming, and only a few have the Passover because they've eaten the body of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. They've eaten the Word. They know they have a right to escape this. Others don't believe that they can be anything but sinners. So their faith is in the fact that they can be sinners. Their faith is not in the fact that they can be Jesus in you, right? This is the plan of God. That the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death. What is death? What is he talking about? Your failure to keep God's word is part of that. Because once you figure out that you can't do it, you need the gospel so that you can understand that he did it. Right? For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested. And that means to appear, to make visible, Faniru, to cause to shine, right? The life of Jesus would be caused to shine in our mortal flesh. Mortal flesh. That's this body. This is where God is offering to manifest Jesus. Now the preachers say that you get changed in the twinkling of an eye as you're being snatched up to heaven. But what is being changed? Notice, it only has to do with a new body. It has nothing to do with a new soul. It's here that you bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in your mind, your will, and emotions, which is your soul. It's here that you bear that fruit because you receive this engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Put the word, the programming of the word in there. If you've come out of religion, you've got a virus in your hard drive. It must be reprogrammed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your words, your speech, your thoughts all need to be reprogrammed so that you're in alignment with the gospel, with the good news. The devil seeks to deprogram you with condemnation. He seeks to get your eyes on you and your failures rather than on the promise and the Savior. He seeks to do that. And he condemns you until you agree with him. So what I say is, after our time of deliverance, now is the time for you to get your eyes on Jesus and accept that you are delivered. Did you know that if you don't continue to agree with the fact that these demons were cast out and they have no authority in you, unless you continue to agree with that, you're not going to keep your deliverance. Neither is anybody else out there. The devil works day and night to try to talk you in to believing that you're the one that's responsible to do this of your own self. And you wouldn't say that with your lips, but that's what's happening. So he's working overtime to drag you back under the law. He knows there's no hope of bearing fruit under the law. There's no perfection under the law. You won't be a threat to him under the law. It was a meantime thing until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. And there are Christians and there are Jews that don't know. They're veiled and they don't know the law passed away. And your ability to save you is impossible. It even was under the law. Because even the people under the law had to wait for a Savior to come and preach to them the gospel. And Jesus went and preached to the souls in prison. Abraham's bosom, not Hades. And he preached to them and he took captivity captive. They still had to have the gospel. The law can make nothing perfect, Paul said. Nothing. So, You're thinking that you can do better? It really translates into, I don't need God, I can do it myself. You wouldn't say that with your mouth. But in effect, that's what people are doing when they accept condemnation. You should have done better. Look what you did. Blah, blah, blah. You know? So, in our mortal flesh, Jesus is coming because you see Christ in the mirror. How awesome is the gospel? It takes away our works. By grace, have you been saved? It's past tense. Because if you believe it, you must cease to try to save yourself. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not able to do it on your own. You must exercise faith. Now, there are people that they don't have any gift of faith. They're merely religious. Remember what faith is. It's the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not yet seen. It's the substance. You're giving God the substance. And He makes for you the impossible when you give Him the substance. He molds it into Himself. So, there are people that don't understand and don't know what faith is. They think that faith is what they believe about God. But faith is believing the promise over and above your eyesight, your feelings, what the devil tells you, what people tell you, the rules and regulations that men put upon you to make you holy and then tell you that you're holy. This gospel rages against that. And people that don't preach grace but preach condemnation, they are working for the devil. There's only one place condemnation is legal, and that's when you're in willful disobedience. Then you're condemned. And you must repent or you will lose your life. But people think that they can willfully disobey because they're once saved, always saved. But that's not what God said. He said, you have no sacrifice for your sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries, meaning you are an adversary. So we have this glorious gospel, this treasure, in this earthen vessel so that we can't do it. And you see, the devil condemns you because you're an earthen vessel. But that was God's plan, that you couldn't do it. Because He only accepts salvation through grace. And that's unmerited, unearned. It's given as a gift. And it's not given to people that are stronger or wiser than others or go to Bible school. No, it's given to everybody who will believe. Some people cannot believe. They cannot. Paul said, all have not faith. They cannot believe. Believe means use faith. Let's just make it simple. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. Now, God is able to give a person this faith, this confidence in Him, that He's already done this. He has conquered the very sin that you're worried about, that you're worried that this is separating you from God. Why spend a lot of time worrying about it or even getting condemned? Turn to God. Repent. Confess this as sin. Accept His forgiveness and His deliverance from all unrighteousness. If you can't do this, you need deliverance. If you cannot confess your sin, you're controlled by demons. They will not let you confess your sin. I can tell you, I've dealt with a lot of demon-possessed people. They cannot confess their sin, because the devil in them won't permit them to do it. He knows if they confess their sins, he loses his power. I had a man come to me a while back and told me he had repented of faction and he was trying to worm his way back in. I said, well, did you sin? Well, I did this and that, things that everybody knew about, but everybody didn't know about the rest of the things he'd done. He wasn't confessing a thing. The things that he thought were hidden, which are not, of those things, he didn't confess a thing. I said, you haven't repented. They cannot. They're demon-possessed. Demons don't want you to confess your sins. You know what they do? They confess everybody else. They claim everybody else's sin. Look out there in the political realm. How is the far left satanic group of factious people who are accusing Trump of doing the exact same thing that they are doing. I mean, this is just an awesome parable that the Lord has put before us. That's exactly what's happening in the church. And you say, what hypocrites? Well, that doesn't convict them because they've got no conscience. So you can say that all you want, but it won't make a bit of difference. So what I'm saying is, if you confess your sins, it means God is releasing you from Babylonish bondage to go back to Zion. When God's people were taken into captivity because of their sins against Him, God brought a beast upon them who conquered them and brought them under the heel. And when they confessed their sins and they called upon God, He brought them out. It's very simple. You're under the flesh, which is ruled by the devil, until you're able to repent and confess your sins. If you don't do that, you can blame everybody in the world for your sins. And it's ludicrous. But we're looking at it happen right in front of us in a more literal way than we can see it in the church. Look, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Same demons, everything. They cannot confess their sins. Can you confess your sin? Or will you let pride, rejection, fear of rejection keep you from confessing your sin? You will split hell wide open. So what have we seen today? We've seen that, yes, God does call us to confess our sins. We do look at it. We do see it. We do confess it to Him. And for that, He delivers us of all unrighteousness and forgives us totally. For that. For that simple thing. The devil knows that. He knows that he loses his house if you honestly confess your sins. Many people are going to be in hell eternally because they refuse to confess their sins. Now, you know, we made the list here. Brethren made the list. And I got to say, it's not abnormal, but some came back later and said, well, I left something out. I was too embarrassed to say it, you know. And so when they confessed that, they got delivered of that. Those who wanted to hide it, they didn't get delivered of it. You know, it's not unusual for some things to be embarrassing. But if you want eternal life, you need to do it. So you confess your sin, and then you turn 180 degrees and you confess the Savior. You confess His salvation. If you don't get to that part too, you're never going to be sanctified. You're never going to bear fruit. You're never, because that's a part of it. The first part, confess your sin, and then confess you're delivered of it. Because Jesus said it would be gone, cleansed of all unrighteousness. So confess it, and turn and confess the Savior. And after these deliverances, people noticed that the devil was trying to condemn them for their past sins. And some people kind of fell into it and kind of felt like they lost what they had gained. No, you haven't lost anything if you believe what happened at the cross. See, it's the trick of the devil. He's taken away your faith. And your mouth droops, and then you stumble into darkness, right? Don't let him take away from you what Jesus gave you. If he gave you deliverance from sin, you've got it. It's yours. He wants to talk you out of it by condemning you for something that you confessed, for goodness sake. You have to give it up. Remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Do you think God is not going to let you be tempted? Temptation is what brings out these things. The devil will tempt you with condemnation. And you'll feel like it's something from God, because the devil tells you it's always from God. But what God wants you to do is get back up and confess the salvation he already gave you and rejoice. Now, again, the reason I started going down this road is we've been talking about discovering these demons, casting them out, and the sin that goes with them, of course. And this is the first part, the confession part. But I want to tell you now, he'll try to condemn you. So what you have to do is do the second part, confess the Savior. Believe that God gave you deliverance from sin at the cross. Believe in the deliverance that you received through the casting out of demons. Believe everything that God has given unto you. He hasn't taken it away. It's only your unbelief that will permit the devil to take it away. Condemnation is part of that. If you got condemnation, you're not believing that you see Jesus in the mirror. You're not believing that it's no longer you that live, it's Christ that lives with you. You're not reckoning yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And then he went on to say, in this way, let not sin reign in your mortal body. That's what it means. In this way, let not sin reign in your mortal body. See, if you don't agree with the gospel, you're going to let sin reign. You won't have any choice. So, Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you give grace to our brethren out there who have labored under the devil's lies, and that you give them a revelation of justification by faith and not by works. Justification by faith. Accounted righteous by faith. And then God gives you the works. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. God's works and not ours. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Keep on keeping on. Hold to the faith. Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Amen. All right. Good night.